Hey, welcome to the Cultivating an Attitude of Gratitude workshop. My name is Danny. I'm going to be the facilitator for this workshop. Will you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We're all compulsive eaters here, right? Okay. So Compulsive Eaters Anonymous is a group of individuals who, through shared experience and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. CEA Howe is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. So can I get a volunteer to read the 12 steps? All right, Rhonda. Yeah, please. You're amongst friends. Here you go. Welcome, everyone. How you doing?
Rhonda, compulsive eater.
Rhonda.
The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Rob.
You're welcome.
All right. Great job. So welcome, everyone who came in. Today, I got a panel of four of the greatest guys in Howe. They're going to talk about cultivating an attitude of gratitude, anywhere from the importance of it in their abstinence or how they go about doing it or any sort of tangential sort of ideas they have on the subject. So I can say that, I talk to most of these guys. I see almost every day, and I see Terry 3-4 days a week. So with that, I'm going to give you, they're going to talk, you got 8 minutes. Start with Steve H.
Yeah, can we use that microphone down there? Is that each?
Is that pretty?
Use this one.
Not much of a mic handhold.
Okay.
So let's see, I'll give you a warning. Yeah, tell me, probably. Whatever.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hi. I hope everyone can hear me. People usually don't complain about not hearing me. So I'm Steve H. I am a compulsive eater. I'm frankly just a compulsive doer of everything, okay? I have a disease of more that used to control my life. I want to thank Danny for inviting me to speak today. I want to thank all of you for saving my life every day so that I can live a better life. And I'm thankful to all these guys up here and all of you. So a willingness. So I looked it up, and there was been a lot of definitions going around, but here's one that I liked: willingness, defined as a quality or state of being prepared to cheerfully do something without resistance or objection. No frigging way I was doing that. That was just, there was no way I was doing that. Old Steve, as my kids refer to old Steve as, didn't know anything about that. Old Steve was defiant, obstinate. If you said left, I said right, up, down. I stroked the cat the wrong way. That was just the way that I ran my life for a very long time. Oddly, I'd kind of made it, it offered some success until it didn't. You know, late in my late 30s and early 40s, I started to really to suffer. My family started to suffer, you know, from it. You know, page 99 in the 12 and 12 talks about to understand rather than be understood. Yeah, also, that was just a complete foreign idea. My job, make you understand me. That was my job. And if you didn't, if I had some impression that you didn't have the right opinion of me, it was also my job to inform and educate you. And I did that. I was a very angry dude. I like to carry batteries out of flashlights in my truck and throw them at people on the freeway. That's how I settled issues on the road, okay? That's how bad it got, okay? So I was a menace. I thought that I was responsible. You know, I did all these things, but I was basically, you know, I was a menace and I didn't have a program. I've just kind of got some notes here that I want to skip over. But, you know, I was a liar. I was self-centered. My addictions took me to places that I shouldn't go as a dad and a husband and an employee and all of those things. You know, my best thinking got me here. And as my addictions finally took over in my life, and by the way, my addictions are all mixed together, you know, and my alcoholism, my food addictions, the others, they're all mixed together. And the 12 steps have kind of come together for me and made a better life for me. But when I showed up here, getting a better life or, you know, getting a relationship with God or doing those things, those were just the last thing on my mind. I was just a mess. I was a mess. And I needed to get my life, you know, back together. So when the day came for me, there was a gentleman in my life. I called him and started talking to me about the 12 steps. And I came to a 12-step meeting. And I wasn't willing by any means, but my addictions had led me to hospitals and institutions and other places that were they weren't fun. The fun was long gone. It was fun with problems. And one of our friends likes to say, and then it was just problems, you know, at the end. So I came in and I went to a meeting and I started to, I don't know, hear the music just a little bit. But I had to deal with these problems in my life. And again, it was about vanity. You know, I'd had two heart attacks from, you know, overeating. I drank myself onto a life flight helicopter at UCLA where they cut me open to save my life. So I'm an addict. But I came into the 12 steps and somebody said, look, Steve, you do these things and you can become a guy that lives a better life. It doesn't have to eat like this, doesn't have to die. You'd be there for your kids. And a funny thing happened. I don't know. It started to happen. The door just cracked open just a little bit, you know, for me. And, you know, and then I started to take the steps. I didn't have a spiritual life at all. I never prayed to anything that wasn't made of porcelain, you know, you know, I met some guys, you know, in my life, and they said, hey, Steve, you know, get up in the morning, you know, hit your knees and pray. I didn't know how. I did not know how. I had was raised with no religious or spiritual background, and it was obvious. So I did it. Like, you know, we've all heard this, fake it till you make it. So I faked my way through the first three steps. You know, if I had to say to my sponsor, yeah, the God thing, you know, I got it. Yes, that's what I was going to do, and that's what I did. But inside, there was a little transformation that was taking place. And it turns out that it was willingness. If somebody said to me, look, Steve, you have to be willing to do this, I was like, you know, I'm not willing to do that. But something happened. Oh, God came into my life, and I just started to gradually get better. And I started taking the steps. And for me, my recovery is all about the steps. So I took those steps. Steps 1, 2, and 3, yeah, got it. I think it took me about a week. I just sort of faked it. I've since gone back and corrected that. 4, you know, but when I got 4 and 5, there was enough willingness in my life to do the actions. And action is the magic word. And I'm quoting another friend of mine in the program. Action is the magic word. So I became willing to do those things that were uncomfortable and not complain about it, and not bitch about it. If I was uncomfortable in any way in my life before, everyone had to be uncomfortable. You had to know it. Everyone had to be uncomfortable. So that was my life. That was my friends and family around me. When Steve came home and the door opened from the garage, you didn't know which version of Steve you were going to get. How am I doing on time?
You got a minute.
Okay. You didn't know which Steve you were going to get. So I came in. I did the steps. I gradually started to get better at them. My willingness started to expand. I did those things. I got to steps 8 and 9, which was everyone heard about. Oh, they're so horrible. They were awesome. Okay, I did those steps in 8 and 9, and God like entered me, and people gave me their blessings, and I got to 10 and 11, and then 12, carrying the message. And this is an area, and I know these guys have all heard this, but I still struggle with this. And I struggle because there's people in my life that don't know I'm an addict. They just don't, like my parents. They're like, Steve, you used to be such an asshole, you know? But I just got better. And so there's still a little shame. I think about my friend that I called when I needed to come in. If he hadn't have put it out there that, like, man, look, dude, here's my shame. I'm an addict. Call me if you need help. If he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't know who to call. And I wonder if there's people in my life right now that need to know that I'm an addict and I'm not revealing it to them. But it's just something that there's some progress. I've got some progress left. So anyway, that's my story. I'm Steve H. And Danny, thanks for bringing me up. Sure. Thank you.
Welcome everyone that came in. You want to go next one?
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Michael R., compulsive eater and compulsive overeater. I'm really happy to be here. This is my first time at a convention, a world convention at that, and I'm pleased. And whoever's doing it all, what a job. This is incredible. So you talk about gratitude. I'm real grateful that I can be here, and I'm grateful for the program. Did I think it would work when I started? No. And I was encouraged to come to a meeting and just I don't even need to put the Hollywood square on just because I wasn't feeling good then. I thought, well, I was told, come to a meeting. And I listened to it, and I thought, I'm familiar with another 12-step program, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I think I'm most grateful, now that I'm thinking about it, is that I found a way by coming here with you guys, putting myself in the mix, that I don't have to eat like that anymore if I don't want to. And that as I'm sitting here right now, I'm even more grateful that I don't have to eat like that again if I do want to, because I can come here and do this with you guys. I take it with me. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than I was, and I like myself. How about that? When I first came in, I wasn't sure I liked myself. Now I look in the mirror. Yeah, I used to be like this. If I drank, I got better looking. And then to make up for that, I'd eat more too. I'd get better looking. I'd feel better. No. So I needed to come here. And I'm just grateful that I got to the place I got to, because I didn't think this was possible. And it was always me. Even though I might think, hey, it's you guys, I'm okay, I'm fine. And it was always me. And I'm the problem that I had to get over myself. I needed to come here. I get out of myself when I do this. And if you ask me, can I help someone else? I didn't think I could, but I can. And maybe I'm uniquely qualified in a way that a lot of us here are, because I know what it's like to feel that way. I know what it's like to eat for no reason. I know what it's like to show up and think, hey, it's lunchtime. I don't want to miss a meal. I'm not hungry, but I could eat. I could always eat. That was me. I could always eat, and I came from a family where we were encouraged to eat. And when those babies eat, it's healthy. Let them eat as much as they want. Is that healthy? No. So I came from this misconception of who I am, what I am, and I had no gratitude about anything. I thought, boy, I got a raw deal here. Look at all these guys. That guy's over there. This guy's over here. What about me? What happened to me? Now I realize, because I can look inside, this inside deal. I lived on the outside before. Now this is all inside. I've got it inside me. I come here and I open up, and that's how I heal. And I need to come to the meetings because that's how I heal. For me, and I have the gratitude that I know that's what I need to do. And the more I think about it, the more grateful I am, the more I have to be grateful for. Because it goes around. I put my hand out there, even if I didn't help someone else, it helped me. It helped me that I went through that motion. And if I'm more grateful, I have more to be grateful for. So it's like turning my attitude over. There's this guy, Wayne Dyer, and I love this, what he says. He says, we don't necessarily see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. So that's me. I don't necessarily see it as it is. I see it as I am. So when I'm in that attitude, when I'm in a bad place, there's nothing I could do. That's terrible. I'm in a good place. Even though it's terrible, it's okay. I mean, we got other things to do. So it's attitude, and we know that here. Negative attitude's a big, bad problem. So therefore, a positive attitude has got to be the answer. And it's working for me. Sometimes I have to put it on the same way I'm big in exercise. I'm an athlete, so I like going through the whole, like I have the little scale. It's not much of a scale, but it works. And I like it. I like taking a little bit off. I like putting a little bit on. So, you know, I'm not a cook. And I don't like the feminine side, but I like doing that. So coming into my own in my second career here. Anyway, I couldn't thank you guys enough in this program enough. And the fact that I'm here, and I love to see so many people. I was so happy to see our turnout. I was worried yesterday that planes aren't flying, and who knows? We live in a crazy time anyway. Who knows what could happen? But I see today we're packed, I think. We're completely filled up, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm looking so forward to tonight. I'm grateful for that. So with all the things to be grateful for, does that mean that I'm going to always be grateful? No. Because we're human. Stuff happens, right? Going to have hard times. But that's how we learn. I'm done. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. My name's Terry, and I'm a compulsive eater. And in case you doubt me, I'm sending some photos around. I'm a compulsive eater who's spent a lot of time eating. Most of my life, I've spent eating. I started eating compulsively when I was very, very young. And like my earliest memories, 3 years old, are about food. All my memories in the beginning of my life are about food, you know? And I spent a lot of time yo-yoing. You know, and trying everything but this, you know, and when Danny asked me and said, you know, how do you cultivate an attitude of gratitude? I thought, well, I don't know. That's the honest truth. And like, I don't know. I know I have one today, but how did that happen? And it happened by going through all the experience that it took to get here today, you know, and it wasn't easy. A lot of it wasn't easy. I first found out about a related program in 1994, and I went and dipped my toe in the water of O.A. Howe and Gray Sheet, and I spent about 3 or 4 months doing the program as it's written. Like every other diet I've ever done, it worked for me. I lost weight. I shared a lot of information with someone, and they went and said something to someone about what I had said. So I got this great big resentment, and I said, and I left, right, for 20 years. Yeah. So actually 22 years, really, because I've started coming back about 20 years later, but it took me 2 years to get some abstinence starting February 9th, 2016. Not my abstinent date today, but that's when I got to program. And, you know, I thought about gratitude a lot, thinking about what I was going to say when I got here. And I had a little chat with God outside. I said, I don't know what I'm going to say. Like I always do when I'm asked to speak. And he says, don't worry, I got this. You know, we're going to be okay. Because inside I'm nervous and I want everyone to like me, et cetera, et cetera. I think we could all relate to that probably. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, I used to do a lot of panels in the other fellowship I belonged to. And I told my sponsor, you know, he noticed how nervous I was. This is 35 years ago. And I said, but it's so important, the subject matter that we're dealing with. We'd go into hospitals and institutions, and I'd say, you know, they will die if they don't get better. And that's what I thought, you know. And he said, you know what? If they're not ready, you can't say anything right. And if they are ready, you can't say anything wrong, you know. So I try to remember that. You know, I thought about gratitude, and I know I've got a strong attitude of gratitude now. But I thought about gratitude, and what's the opposite? Resentment. You know, I think resentment is the opposite for me, you know, because I can't be grateful if I'm resenting somebody. Some circumstance, some person, place, or thing is bothering me. I can't be grateful in that moment unless I start working towards taking action towards resolving that circumstance. And you guys taught me that. I didn't know that before I got here, you know. So in 2016, I came to program, and my ex-wife was in program, and she invited me to come see her take a candle for 2 years. And I came to the rooms, and everyone that knows me knows I'm a very emotional person, so forgive me if I cry during my share a little bit. I'll try not to. I'll try not to, okay? It's not too manly, but I'll try. She asked me to come and celebrate that event with her, and I came to the meeting in Encino, and after the meeting, I was trying to talk to her, and she said, you know, you need to talk to someone else. I got to go. Later, I find out she didn't have to go anywhere, but she's smart, you know? And she sent me away, and I put my helmet on to go jump on my motorcycle and disappear. I was driving out of the parking lot. I was saying, well, you know, and I stopped, and I spoke with Suzanne and Jonathan L. They were standing at the end of the parking lot. I was so afraid of you guys, I raised the visor, but I didn't take the helmet off. And I stood there, and we had it. It was probably pretty uncomfortable. I think we talked for 40 minutes, you know? And Jonathan said to me, yeah. And that's what I found in this program. I'm so grateful that we all are so willing to help one another. Like they did that day, I see that over and over again, and I am responsible to extend my hand and do the same whenever I have the opportunity. And Jonathan asked me if I thought I could do this. And I said, oh, hell no. It's way too rigid. He said, no, it's not rigid. It's structured and disciplined. Oh, that was the first time I ever heard that. So anyway, I stayed abstinent for approximately almost 3 years. I'll tell you someone else in the room that means a lot to me. 2 years and 8 months, North Hollywood meeting, Jay was speaking. And he talked about having to make adjustments in our abstinence. And it was literally 2 years and 8 months the day of abstinent. And I remember starting to doubt myself. I wasn't doing it perfect enough, you know, because I'm a perfectionist. If I can't do it perfect, I don't want to do it. I'd rather quit, you know, and a horrible attitude. You know, I'm grateful that I'm not that way today, you know. So anyway, I talked myself out of the program. Within 3 months or something, I was fully not abstinent anymore. And I got an outreach call from someone, and I was at Baskin-Robbins. And I didn't say I'm eating. I acted, though, that everything was okay because I was there to be there for them, to listen to their problem in my mind. You know, I don't want to, you know, burst this bubble. This thing works. Don't, for whatever you do, don't take my advice. I'm not using it. Don't give up. Don't stop doing this. You know, so of course, 10 minutes later, I had to call them and say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I listened to everything you had to say. I should have started with, I'm not abstinent right now. You know, but that helped me work towards getting back. And I say work towards getting back because my abstinent date today, which I protect dearly, is March 30th, 2023. So I took a lot. Oh, thank you. It's not much time. I feel, you know, it's a truly in my career of compulsive eating, it's a blip on the screen. And it's amazing, even that short amount of time, what incredible gifts I've gotten. You know, I am a lot more comfortable with myself today, even though I admit to you that I'm really nervous to do this. I'm a lot more comfortable with myself today than I ever have been before. I'm a lot better, you know, boyfriend. I'm a lot better father, stepfather, a lot better employee. I mean, I'm just a lot better off because of where I'm at because of you guys, you know? Okay. For me, the answer to how do I cultivate an attitude of gratitude really is the tools. You know, I do the steps and I don't like all of them. And I do the tools and I don't like all of them, you know, but my day is really important. The most important thing when I wake up in the morning is to get to the pillow abstinent. That's the most important thing, bar none. It really is. And I didn't think I'd ever have that kind of attitude because when I was out there wishy-washy and just trying, you know, I had some time, but well, this is more important today. I'll do this. I don't have to take time for that. No, no, no. I got to take time for it all. You know, I got to do the steps, the tools and the steps the way it's suggested to me because otherwise I'm not going to stay. And I don't know, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe I don't get to the pillow tonight absent. I believe I will because of where I'm at now, but it doesn't matter because what I've learned this time around is this is the last house on the block. I have no better place to go. And thank you guys for being here and listening to me.
My name is Isa. I'm a compulsive eater. It's good to be with everybody. I'm with these guys twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays, but we're never together live, you know, so it's good to be with you guys. You know, yeah, it's, they, you know, attitude of gratitude. You know, I'm just grateful today that I didn't know my life wasn't, I knew there was something wrong. Didn't know what it was, you know, and I try to fix it with food and everything else, anything that make me feel different. Lots and lots of drinking and drugging and because I just didn't feel okay. So I'm just grateful today to know what the problem is and what the solution is. It's because I didn't know, you know, I knew that, you know, that liquid lubricant helped me loosen up, but, you know, there was more crap the next day of life that I didn't want to look at. And so I ended up at a 12-step program because that's where I belong. That's where I belong in these rooms. This is, you know, I come from a family who are all addicts and I didn't skip me. I was right there with them, and but food was my best friend for a long time. It was, you know, when I ran out of this and that, and you know, I still had the, you know, what's in the refrigerator, and it kept me really. It kept me going for, you know, because I probably, the way I use drugs and alcohol, I would be dead if I didn't have the food as the buffer. You know what I mean? Because I just buried my cousin 3 weeks ago, overdose. And my brother at 39 died of an overdose. I had to go get him from Florida, bring him back here. I have lots of addiction in my dad died of alcoholism. I got a brother who's suffering. He's on methadone now. So I know what addiction will do to you. And I'm just grateful that I was able to get this gift, the gift of abstinence, sober, living right, you know, because I didn't know how to live right. And and listening. You know, I think the because I was always thinking and talking to myself and me, you know. And so just the fact that it gave me the buffer to just be able to listen when you share and just give me that quiet time, that minute to just feel okay. And that's, if anything, I get an hour, sit in a meeting, and I just listen. I used to do a whole lot of talk, and I don't do as much of it as anymore. I just like to listen and I hear what these guys got going on in their lives, and it just it bolster mine because I know what to do, you know. CHOW is you know, it's about living right, eating sensibly, and doing the right thing so you get the right results. It's, you know, and they tell me, you know, there is nothing happens in God's world by mistake. There is, but that I just have to accept, I have to believe, I have to fully concede, the big book says, fully concede to my innermost self that I am an addict and a really bad food addict. I had to fully, the operative word is fully concede, because I always knew I had problem with food, but I didn't fully concede that, you know, to my innermost self. And I just kept spinning back and forth, in and out, you know. Life isn't that way today. I like the way I feel today. Life is still the same. It deals you the same, you know. I just deal with it differently because you guys showed me how to do that. And so as a member of the program, I can maybe, because I can't keep it unless I give it away. And I can't be, because I'm always trying, you know, my mind as an addict is wants to be impressive. I want to sound good, you know. I hope I can, you know, but I just want to be another jerk on the bus. I want to be, because I can't run alone. I've tried it. I can die. I know. And I'm just lucky that I'm not dead from what I've done. I don't know why, but I really done some, a lot of the guys that I grew up with, let's put it this way, they car accidents, overdoses, you know, suicides. That's the kind of people I grew up with. And is it a gift? Absolutely is. Being in these rooms is a true gift. You know, it really is. I think, you know, we always try to, we got the steps, we got the traditions, we got the concepts, we got our forever abstinence, we got all this literature, and we just try to do it one day at a time. And if you're new, it's going to be hard because you know what? You can't put out all in reverse all at once. You can't do all this stuff. You just do it slowly, one day. That's why we do this one day at a time. One day at a time, we just show up, and thank God it's just one day at a time. I couldn't handle this thing, you know. It takes you, this whole program takes you to one thing, is of a power greater than myself. That's where, you know, and that is, it's really simple. This program, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, makes it real simple. It says there is, in every man, woman, or child, there is a fundamental idea of God. I don't have to know what it is, where it is, where it lives. I just got to believe that there's a power greater than myself, that and it ain't me, and it's been a wonderful program, and I think that's all I have to say. Thanks for your rebuttal. Okay.
So, Rhea, you come up there and read the concept.
Hi, everyone. Nina, compulsive eater. Hi, Nina. The CHOW concept. The Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW concept has been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. The CHOW groups have been formed in the belief that our disease is absolute, and therefore only absolute acceptance of the CHOW concept will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, the See How concept of eating, steps, traditions, and tools of recovery are not suggested. Rather, we accept them as requirements for our recovery. Meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the HOW of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the See How ideal will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. Each group also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen. Amen. Thank you for asking me to read. Thank you, everyone, for being here and being of service to each other.
We've heard it in the rooms, and I've heard it at the table about leaving and it being what I've experienced, a wad of time to get back in the program. 10 years, 20 years, which is unholy to hear and worst experience. What turned it around? What got you back? I would love to know that.
For me personally, since I mentioned it was 20 years, what it took was attraction, you know, rather than promotion, because my ex-wife and the mother of my two children, who's my dear best friend still to this day, she had gotten back in program. You know, she was a person I went with when I mentioned going in 94 to OA How. It was with her, and she spent some time away from program, but not that long, not as long as me. But anyway, seeing her change, and of course I saw her body change, but you know, I knew the program worked. You know, I knew of other people that were doing the program, but I saw her everything change. The way she dealt with problems, the way she dealt with people, the way she dealt with me. And basically, she's always been an amazing lady. That's why she's my best friend and why I married her and was with her for a long, long time. But I'm still with her. So we joke about it and say, you know, we got 35 years together and nothing's going to ever take us apart. But it was seeing her face everything with dignity and grace. So attraction rather than promotion.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Catherine.
So some of you know me in this room, some of you don't. And I've been gone for about 18 years. And I've never been to a convention before for this. Actually, I think I've only been to one convention my whole life. And one of the members of the program said in the room, stay in the middle. I was like, gosh, yeah. And I'm always like, I'm always on the outside, you know, like, you know, no one will notice me and I'll just stay on the outside and I can get away with things and I don't have to show up. But today was like, you know what? Not only showing up, but actually sharing about this. Well, first off, let me qualify. I have about 110 days. Thank you. And I couldn't put a day together. And before I got here, my eating career had really hit quite an interesting level. And it was $25 a day at the 99-cent store of the $1 item of, I think you guys know what I'm talking about. And that was actually just a snack. It was just to get me to nod off. And I was playing Russian roulette every day. And, you know, I didn't want to die, but I also was like, well, I don't have any choice. I can't put the food down. So I don't know why I got struck this time, but I just want to share about what's my experience has been the last couple of days. You get sort of used to being abstinent after 100 days. You know, you kind of get into a lull. You get like, I'm looking good. I'm looking sharp. And coming here has brought me back to day one where I walked in and I, you know, whew, not a dry eye and very grateful. So I just want to thank everyone. And by the way, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but my eating career really brought me down to a bad place financially. And I'm here based on a scholarship. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Brandon. Okay, thanks so much, Catherine. So do we have anyone else who wants to jump up here? Okay. So, you know, maybe this offends people. I'm going to start calling people. If you don't want to come up, just pass. It's okay. I just want to move it along. But I do also want to say, look, I like in-person meetings. I'm not someone that poo-poos them. They're great. But I know there's people from out of state, from out of the city. We have Monday and Thursday, we have a men's meeting, but Tuesday, Sue G, Mike, most of us go to a Tuesday night 5:30 Zoom meeting. Hey, if you like what you're hearing here, you can connect with us every Tuesday, 5:30 Pacific Standard Time on Zoom. It's really great. I mean, it's a great technology. So with that, the first person I'm going to call up here is Jay.
All right.
All right. Hey, can you sign this, Jay?
Jay, compulsive eater.
Hey, Jay.
I've been around this program a little while, quite a while. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but has anybody seen a panel of men in the CEA like this? Can we give them a big hand? I came through another fellowship where when I came through, there was not that many women in it. You know, it was mostly men. And so whenever a woman got to this podium, somebody say, women do recover. Well, I'm saying men do recover.
Yeah.
And so I've been in this program a long time, and this is the time I can really relate to these guys because there was never that many men in the program. There was never that many men in the program. And I didn't mind. I love women. I can't lie. I love them. So, a couple of you guys know that. And there was one, we had one meeting on Tuesday. It was a men's stag. And nobody was abstinent. I mean, they didn't even pretend to be abstinent. It was like, just come in the door and you can share it. I don't care. You can bring your food with you. But, you know, I've been with these guys for the past year or so, and it's just amazing. You know, I got a sponsor out of the men's meeting that you're talking about. I get to see these guys, and so it's just beautiful to see. So men do recover. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Eva Compulsive Eater. I want to thank you guys. It feels good to hear men share about the recovery, you know, because I come from another 12-step program, and I need to participate for my recovery. And what you guys said was very powerful. You know, I'm grateful because I never left the rooms, but I couldn't stay abstinent. You know, and in person, I went to every meeting. You could think big book, everything. But I just couldn't do it. And then when Zoom came in, something changed in me that today, you know, I'm grateful because I never thought I could be consistent. And you guys talk about that, you know. I was never overweight or nothing, but the sugar took me at a far dark place. You know, I always label myself dumb, stupid, and ignorant because I come from alcoholism. And so that kept me medicated, you know. I didn't know how to share anything. When I came in here, it's a different world for me because I said, oh my God, this is people that are staying abstinent, you know. What could I give, you know? And I'm grateful because in September, I have 3 years, one day at a time. And that took a lot of work and courage. And I'm so grateful because the sponsor that I have, she's very, she walks me through anything. And it doesn't matter if it's, but you know, I know that my addiction will, I would die for it because I love to go. And, you know, I never did any of those fast foods or anything, but I knew where to go for the sugar. And I grew up with it, you know. The first thing they introduced me was the baby bottle with sugar in it. And that's how I took off. I thought there was something wrong with me, but there wasn't. And I'm grateful that you guys have this panel because it reminds me I'm not that far from that first bite. And I'm never going to be if I keep forgetting that I'm well, but I'm not. And you guys bring that up, you know. And I'm grateful because I'm here and I get to hear you guys. And I really would like to go to that 5:30 meeting, you know, because I'm always looking for something for me to be part of. And I have to get up here to participate because I won't feel part of anything if I sit back there and act, well, you guys are really, you know, you share about the addiction and how much of the addiction I still have. It's not going to go away, but it keep working the requirements and the tools. It's a gift. And I meet so many people on Forum Bridge because I do the intergroup. You know, people call me and, you know, it was hard for me to get on the Forum Bridge because I didn't get it. You know, I was scared. I said, they're not going to understand what I'm saying. They're not going to get it. But I'm grateful I have the courage to do that. So I do both, Phone Bridge and Zoom. And I'm really glad that you guys are here because you opened that door for me. And in the heart, that's where it comes, the language of the heart. So thank you for letting me share.
Ursur, and then, of course, Suji after that. Miss, can you just sign this, please? Oh, geez. Yes, I did. I haven't seen you in so many years.
Yeah, I know.
Nice to see you.
Hi, my name is Celia, compulsive eater in recovery. And my friends, Danny, Terry, who I see him every week almost, and Isa. Yeah, those are my friends forever. Whenever I see them, sometimes I said, what's his name? Because I'm very bad of name, you know. And my profession, I always change the name. But, you know, I really highly respect you all of you, because it really takes something to be in a program with predominant women. So my respect to you and to Stick, you know, Terry is the only one in our group. And then, you know, he gets the loves of all the women. So that's the best part. And I said, I'm getting jealous, Terry. You're talking to my sponsor, Polly. You know, and that's the beauty of the program. I remember when we used to go to meetings, Danny and Terry, on Tuesday and Thursday. And when they start saying, I love the program, I start thinking myself, do I really love the program? And I'm talking before the pandemic, years ago. And I do love the program. She gave me my life. When I came to the program, I was on the dark, really hole. Dark one, honestly. And the program gave me my life. I finished my grad school because of the program. Honestly. What do I need to finish? Read and write. What do we do? I remember one time I went to my meeting and I said, I'm tired to wait and measure and blah, blah, blah. I do it automatically. It's on my counter all the time. And I said, what are you talking about? It's just there all the time, you know. But I learn from you all. I really do. And I keep learning. Today has been a wonderful, wonderful time and convention because I haven't been in a convention since before the pandemic. I think the last one, it was the one that I have an accident in Las Vegas. I have a big accident. I felt in the elevator. But, you know, here I am. Here I am with you. Here I am. I love you all. Okay?
Thank you so much, Celia. I've always loved the women and how. You know, you guys saved my life. So, and I learned so much from you. And so I just want you to know that. There just came a time where I needed to get with my brothers, and I'm not going to sponsor a woman. So, you know, you got to give it away to keep it. So, here you go. Thanks. My Eskimo. This is my
Eskimo. Hi. Good, better, and different. That's me. I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And
I came to CHOW in 2002, and I got a year and a half of abstinence the first go around, and then I started lying about my food and slipping. And where I went to, where sugar takes me, it makes me suicidal. So for me, that is a no way, no how, never going to happen, one day at a time. But, you know, I didn't leave. And that was like the best that I could do. I remember hearing Ninu pitch at a meeting. She got up. She said, I have 7 days today. And I looked at her. I'm like, how the fuck she gets 7 days? You know? And I could just not. I don't know if it was a could not or a would not, but it just, I was just had a really hard time. And my pattern was I'd get about 6 months of abstinence, slip. 6 months of abstinence, slip, you know, and then lie about it for another year until it was obvious because I was putting on weight and had to come clean. So I was going through another one of those stages, and this was March 2021. And, I was in that painful, incomprehensible demoralization one more time. And I was talking to my sponsor in the morning, and I, you know, I told her, look, my food has been rangy and kind of crazy, but I don't want to change my date. And she said, then don't, just clean it up. And for me, that flipped the switch in me to clean it up. You know, and I have been abstinent. Coming up August 3rd, I'll have 3 years. And that is the longest time I've ever had abstinent in 22 years in program. And that's a miracle. So my message is just don't leave. Even if you ate before the meeting, you're going to go have something after the meeting. Come to the meeting, because if you're not here, you can't hear the message. You can't get the hope, you know, and today I have more than 7 days and I can pitch. Anyways, but I wanted to say thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I know I've known two of these guys from another program, and I'm like, oh my God, they're in Howdy, you know? And then I've known Danny for years and years. His wife sponsored me for a long time in another program. And I know Terry and Esau from the Sunday Encino meeting. That was where I got abstinent. That was my home group, and that will always be my How home group. I'm now living, and I'll wrap it up. I'm living in Arizona, and we have very few meetings. We have one Saturday meeting, which is hybrid, which I attend regularly, and I'm starting another live meeting at my home in the East Valley because we need it. We need How in Arizona. So we're trying to I need How in Arizona, and I can't say enough. This program, over and above the other one that I'm in, and I have long-term sobriety, this saved my life. This is the one that took the obsession away. And nothing ever took the obsession away. I was always obsessed with food. But this program, doing it like it's written, being honest, number one, being honest about it, takes the obsession away. Anyways, thanks for letting me share it to you all.
All right, we got time for a quick one. Come on up, Sue D. Thanks so much, Susan. You could just sign here. And then we'll wrap it up because we're all about time, huh?
Can I be quick? I'm Sue. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
Thank you, guys. And I just want you to know, in the time I've been in program, I have sponsored a good half dozen men and have heard their inventory, and it was just fine. And it was like, a couple guys would come to me and go, I want you to hear my inventory because you're not going to judge me like a man would. So okay. There you go. Okay, so when I first came here, it took me a couple years to come to this program. And my first meeting, I sat there with my arms folded going, what the hell are these people doing? And I heard the word gratitude. I heard gratitude. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to have a year. I'm grateful I can share. And I was rolling my eyes. By the end of the meeting, I said to myself, I don't know what grateful looks like. I don't know what it means. But there was, in the pit of my stomach, there was a thing that said, come back and find out. And it probably took me a year before I told this story and someone said, that was God talking to you. So You keep coming back. I keep coming back. I keep doing the deal. I show up. I do 4 meetings a week, the Tuesday night I love. And I just get to have this fabulous life. I was at a workshop earlier, and I just sat there and cried through the last half of it because it hit me in a way that I hadn't been hit in all my years in program. Never know when that's going to happen. So I did have a sponsor who was a fun type person, and she would say, when you say you have an attitude of gratitude, you have to say, I have an attitude of gratitude. And you have to sashay it out the room. So thank you.
All right, that was awesome. So thank you. Jay, can you come up here and read a vision for you, and then we'll take us out into the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, my name's Jay, and I am a compulsive eater.
Dundies.
I have an attitude of gratitude. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
All right. After a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering compulsive eater in and out of these rooms, please let's just hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer. May their burdens be lightened. Yeah, let's make big. I didn't think anyone was.